You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and I am live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm joined by one of our regular guests, and one of our favorites here is Brandon C. Price. And I started the show by saying that I've got I feel less today. And I think it's following this case. There's been a lot of outrage after a California judge decided to give a 20-year-old Brock Turner way less than most people would hope he would get for being he was convicted in March of the intent to commit rape of an intoxicated person and or unconscious, penetration of an intoxicated person, and penetration of an unconscious person. While the prosecutors were asking for 6 years, he sentenced Brock to 6 months with probation, and people are so angry. His father wrote this letter saying that that his life shouldn't be ruined over 20 minutes of action. Literally wrote that. The judge has said that he doesn't think he's a danger to others. That a prison sentence would have a severe impact on him. And I think people are really angry. They're upset. I'm sure there are people who think this is fine and acceptable, and this is the court system, and this is how it works out. But we have on the line with us someone who is familiar with how this plays out, how victims feel, and I'm guessing also the perpetrators. We have on the line with us the director of the Rape Victim Advocate. Advocates, we have Sharmili Majdumar. Hi, am I saying your name correctly?
It's Sharmili Majdumar.
Sharmili Majdumar. I'll keep saying it until I get it right, but not consecutively. Thank you for joining us. And what kind of responses? What kind of emotion are you getting from yourself and from others in your community?
I think outrage definitely captures it. I think outrage not only directed at Brock Turner himself, but also at his father and the judge who imposed such a light sentence and actually really bent over backwards to impose that light sentence, because the minimum for 3 counts of felony is actually 2 years in California, and he could have been given anywhere up to 14 years.
Right.
Prosecutors were asking for 6 years. And it looks like he's only going to be spending about 3 months in county jail as opposed to prison. So definitely outrage around that. He will be appealing his conviction. So that's another thing. But I also have to say that it's been really heartening to see how much outrage there has been generally, and that there are so many people who have been sharing the victim's incredibly powerful victim impact statement,
yes,
which she read before sentencing. And so to see that kind of support, I can only hope that that support drowns out to a certain degree what an egregious miscarriage of this justice this has been.
Well, and it does. It brings a lot of what people think about these cases, right? Because there will be people who say, well, she was drinking too much. And I mean, ultimately, that's how this decision was. It seems to have been made is these are young people. And, you know, because he's now saying, Brock Turner is saying, I'm going to be an advocate for making sure people don't drink too much and make bad decisions, as though that was really the problem.
Yes. Binge drinking and sexual promiscuity is what he intends to go around and speak to high school students about. And the victim, to her credit, has said, you know, if that is how you're going to characterize what you're going to talk about, I'm going to follow you to every talk that you give, and I'm going to give a follow-up talk.
Right.
So I think it's completely outrageous that he has not been able to show any sense of accountability. The only thing that he has admitted to is drinking alcohol. And for him and his father to continue to characterize this as an issue of binge drinking as opposed to an issue of sexual violence is deeply disrespectful to the victim and, frankly, to survivors of sexual violence everywhere, regardless of whether they go through the criminal court system. And unfortunately, this case is an example of why victims don't report.
Right. Because they're victimized all over again. There's the why were you there? Why were you dressed that way? How much did you drink? You know, how many people have you slept with in the past? Had you slept with this person in the past become issues? Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. The Rape Shield Law does protect victims to a certain degree.
What is the rape? May I ask what the Rape Shield Act is?
So the Rape Shield Law basically prohibits asking about a victim's sexual promiscuity, right? About how sexually active they are, because in so many ways that has been used against victims, because women are often held to this, and it's mostly women, are often held to the standard, right, is that if you're sexually active, that somehow you deserve to be sexually assaulted. It's not ironclad, though. So there were ways in which it was introduced, for example, in the way that the defense attorneys, cross-examined this particular survivor on the stand, asking lots of really intimate questions about her past in college, her relationship with her boyfriend, et cetera. So it was an improvement, but it certainly does not prevent the kind of revictimization you were referring to, Patty.
It's hard to even imagine being in that situation of having to go to court, and that he won't admit to it as well, even though there were witnesses who had to pull him off, stop him, and chase him and hold him down until the authorities could arrive.
Exactly. And what's interesting is that he continues to argue that it was consensual, and yet two men who were riding by on bicycles could tell that it was not consensual. So he was on top of her. So it's just so incredibly disingenuous and disrespectful, and just shows a complete lack of accountability.
Yeah, absolutely. And then for his father to say, we've talked in the past on this show about rape culture, and it is, there are both women who want to share their frustration, their anger, their fear when it comes to being victimized, whether it is by sexual assault or even, whether it's on the street or being followed or fearing for our safety. And then there are men who are like, it's always our fault. It's always, maybe women are, if they only didn't dress that way, we wouldn't have to tell them that their boobs look nice or whatever it is, whatever excuse it is. But this letter from the father, I think, kind of epitomizes what we are raging against. Is here's an excuse. Here's writing it off and saying basically boys will be boys.
Right, and that because he's a quote-unquote good boy,
right,
he should be held to somehow a different standard. So there are definitely issues that are being raised around race, around class, around social status, around how all of those things are factoring in. Mm-hmm. And Rape Victim Advocates provides a lot of different services, comprehensive services for survivors of sexual violence, in addition to doing education and training. And so every year we provide 24-hour crisis response to 14 hospitals in the Chicago area, and we serve probably around 600 survivors of sexual violence every year through those hospitals. And every single time we hear survivors talk about how incredibly difficult the process is once they go into the emergency room. And so to hear people be so cavalier or, to suggest that she's just fuzzy, making it up, et cetera, and not really acknowledging the true trauma and violation that it is, again, it's a slap in the face of every survivor of sexual violence.
It is. And the thing is, they got the conviction. The prosecutors got the conviction.
A unanimous conviction. So 8 men, 4 women on the jury, all convicted him 3 counts, of felony counts of sexual violence. And it really, from the judge's remarks, it really seems like the judge gave much more weight to the letters that were written in support of Brock Turner, and the so-called character references, and did not give any weight to the fact that there was a letter that was signed by hundreds of Stanford students, alumni, and faculty, basically saying that this is horrible. You have to hold him responsible for this, and again, for him to get less than what is the minimum sentence. By using his authority as a judge to be able to do that is really troubling. He's running unopposed for re-election.
Right.
There currently is a petition that's received thousands of signatures to have him recalled.
It is it's absolutely appalling, and apparently the judge was thinking of his future, of this kid's bright future, and disregarding completely both the life now, before, and after this assault to this young woman. I honestly don't care if he's never done it before. I hope that he will be a good person again. But in that moment, he is a rapist, and he was convicted as such. I'm sorry, I'm getting angry. You're being very calm.
Well, unfortunately, we there are so many ways in which our society, including our criminal legal system, does not hold people who commit sexual violence accountable for their crimes. So while I think this has definitely captured a great deal of attention and outrage, and I think appropriately so, and hopefully that will allow for people to really become part of the work to end sexual violence, it is unfortunately not a unique case. And that is probably what's most outrageous about the whole thing to begin with.
Right. This is the one we're hearing about. We're not hearing about one. Well, I want to talk to you about this when we come back from a break, if you wouldn't mind hanging on the line.
Sure.
But I want to talk about, you know, what the path is for perhaps women who have never reported it, because I know that you take calls for survivors at any point in their lives, and not just for when it happens. I think women will think, there's nothing I can do now. I didn't speak up. I didn't make charges. But there is something to be done at any point in their lives, isn't there?
Absolutely.
We are talking to Sharmeely Majmadour. Am I saying it right?
Yes, that was close.
That was close. You say it, so I don't have to just be close.
Sharmeely Majmadour.
Sharmeely. I'm trying to think, like, if you were telling someone to write it phonetically, how do you write it down phonetically for people like me?
You know, I say basically, if you have the words in front of you, then you just pronounce every single letter. Nothing silent.
Okay. Sharmeely Majmadour.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to try it again when we come back. She is a director of... Brandon, you're shaking your head.
You both said it differently, but it sounded good both times.
Majmadour.
You got it.
She's saying I got it, Crick. Did I get it that time? Okay. She is the director of rapevictimsadvocates.org, and she's being very patient with me. More after this on 720 WGN.
One, two, one, two.
You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. On the line with me is the director of the Rape Advocates Chicago. Sharmeely, what's the website for your organization?
It's rapevictimadvocates.org.
Rapevictimsadvocates.org. And in the studio with me is Brandon C. Price, one of our favorites and one of our regulars here on the show. We also have attorney Rich Lenkoff, who I believe you're appearing with tomorrow. And he was, I'm trying to teach him how to say your name, and I'm probably not doing a great job of it. Sharmeely Majmadour is on the line with
you
us.
You got it.
I'm slowing down. I figure that's probably the wisest thing to do.
Diction and articulation.
Exactly. Sharmeely, the petition to remove Judge Aaron Persky from the bench is up to almost 200,000 on change.org. But as you were mentioning before the break, this is one judge in a system that often does not do justice for the victims.
Yes. And I think the unfortunate result of this particular story will also be that there will be other survivors who think twice about reporting and coming forward.
Right. If that's all he gets, why would I go through that?
Yeah,
why would
put
I?
Yourself through it.
Yeah. I mean, it's excruciating. I mean, we've all been through cases. Rich Lenkoff is in court all the time, and who wants to be put through that? Especially if you're going to be victimized all over again. What do you want to tell listeners right now who are perhaps survivors who have never come forward? What do you encourage them to do?
I think the first thing is for them to know that they're not alone. The Chicago Rape Crisis Hotline is at 888-293-2080. It's a 24-hour hotline, and it doesn't matter when you were sexually assaulted, whether you were a child, whether it was 25 years ago, whether it was last night. You can still reach out, and there is support. There are resources there for you. We believe you, and we will do everything we can to make sure that you can access the options available to you, whatever you choose.
You know, she said something right there that really connected with me. You said, we believe you. How big of a hurdle is that for people when they come in knowing that, you know, that something happened to them, but a lot of people may hear them say it and not believe them? How huge of maybe a relief is that sentence that you just said?
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, we hear it from the survivors we work with every day. We serve about 1,600 survivors annually, as well as their loved ones. And we do education work with close to 20,000 young people and community members and trainings, et cetera. And in that entire population, we constantly hear from survivors that when they talk to us, that it may be the first time that someone said to them that I believe you. And when we talk to like community members and doing trainings, what we hear a lot is that people don't believe victims. You know, they believe that there is a high rate, for example, of false reporting. And so you put those two things together and you then have people who've experienced incredibly intimate and long-lasting trauma who are not reaching out for support and who are being silenced because of the ways in which people respond to them. So I believe you, we believe you are hugely powerful statements to make.
We believe you. I think you're right. That's incredibly powerful. And I also see that you have prevention education as well in schools, at colleges, elementary school. Can you tell us a little bit about those programs?
Sure. So we provide developmentally and age-appropriate sexual violence prevention education. So we work with everything from, as you said, pre-K through college. And our goal there is to really, in a lot of ways, just teach about consent, to really help children, and then as they get older, teens and college students, as well as the communities that are around them, that people have a right to say what happens to their body, that no one is entitled to anyone else's body, to sex, to those kinds of things. And unfortunately, these are conversations that most people have not had with their kids,
right?
And certainly conversations that they've not had in school. And we're learning more and more that where kids are getting their sex ed is from their peers and from porn, which are not ideal.
That's a whole nother conversation we need to have with you, because that is absolutely something that I'm finding out. I have a 12-year-old son, and you know, they don't want to talk about what their friends are showing them, and they're confused, and there's so much domination in a lot of those videos. And again, we talk so much about rape is about power, and you know, controlling somebody physically includes controlling their ability to want to speak up. Sharmili, we have to run, but I know that you'll be talking to Rich Lenkov tomorrow, and we would really appreciate having you back on the show. If you're ever up for coming in studio, we'd love to do that too, if you wouldn't mind.
It would be my pleasure, and thank you so much, Patty, for taking the time to talk about this. I think it's particularly important for people to know that there are resources out there and that every single one of us has the potential to be helpful and impactful when it comes to sexual violence.
Well, and I think you do a great job of getting that message out. Again, we've been talking to Sharmili Majmadar, the director of Rape Victim Advocates. You can go to rapevictimadvocates.org. And the crisis hotline, 24 hours, is 888-293-2080. And we will put that link up on our website as well, Patty V Show on Facebook. Sharmili, have a great night, and we will talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. More after this on 720 WGN.